Talk. Come into line. Mountain View, California, January 27, 1910. Portion of a talk before the Pacific Union Conference, Mountain View, California, January 27, 1910. Afterward published in Union Conference papers in North America. Last night I seemed to be standing before a large number of people who were not united. One would stand back while another desired to go forward. They were not standing in unity one with another. I saw a heavenly being appear before them and heard him say, "Come into line." No one is fighting a battle on his own charges. The Master of Assemblies says, "Come into line." After this, I did not go to sleep again. I wondered whether in this meeting our brethren were coming into line. It is often very difficult for a large group of workers to come into full harmony one with another, but everyone is to come into line and fill his appointed place. May God help his servants to do this, is my prayer. Although some may have followed their own way for a time, it is possible for them to return and get into line. The Lord sees that it is not best for his children to be allowed to do as they please and refuse to unite with their brethren who view matters somewhat differently from the way in which they may view them. He invites those who claim to believe the truths of his word to come into line while they still have opportunity to harmonize with their brethren. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 6, 7. There are some who do not readily respond to the invitation to forsake their own way and come into harmony with God's way. They prefer to follow a way of their own choosing. Those who wish to do so have the privilege of continuing to walk in their own unconsecrated way, but the end of that way is sorrow and destruction. The Lord has men of his appointment whom he will use in his work so long as they allow themselves to be used in accordance with his good pleasure. He can never use anyone who is seeking to humble someone else. Humble yourselves, brethren. When you do this, it is possible for holy angels to communicate with you and place you on vantage ground. Then your experience, instead of being faulty, will be filled with happiness. Seek to relate yourselves in harmony with God's leadings, and then you will be susceptible to the movings of His Holy Spirit. The Lord is coming. The end of all things is at hand. There remains but little time in which to develop character. Our experience, our testimony, our daily conduct is having an influence either for good or for evil. Which shall it be henceforth? Shall we choose to humble our hearts before God? Those who constantly advance in Christian perfection from grace to grace are a mighty moving force for good in this world. Often in the silent watches of the night, I think of the sufferings of Christ in our behalf. Behold the Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane. The thought of being separated from his Father was the burden pressing so heavily upon his soul. He felt as if he might be unable to pass through such an experience. "If it be possible," he prayed, "let this cup pass from me." Matthew 26, verse 39. So great was his agony that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22, verse 44. It was for the sake of ransoming a lost world that he passed through this agony. While the Savior was in the garden, the cup trembled in his hand. Should he refuse to drink? Only through his sacrifice could the sinner be saved. Should the divine sufferer refuse to drink of that cup trembling in his hand? It was then that a mighty angel came to strengthen him, and he prayed, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26, verse 39. At times, when in great trial or pain, I think, what is the use of continuing to work as I do? But I am ashamed of myself as soon as such a thought as this passes through my mind. I see Jesus, my Redeemer, suffering in Gethsemane. I see trembling in his hand the cup that is to separate him for a time, as it were, from his Father. I see him suffering at the hands of cruel men. I see him smitten in the face and suffering every indignity, and then mockingly commanded to show by a sign that he is the Savior. Oh, what if he had refused to drink the cup of bitter agony he endured? What if his prayer had been answered? But God knew best and strengthened his only begotten Son to endure the agony and the shame and become a propitiation for the sins of a lost world. In view of the infinite sacrifice made by the Son of God, what sacrifices are his followers making today? There must be more Christ-likeness revealed in the daily life practice. All are to be laborers together with God. There is a world to be warned, and all who name the name of Christ need to bring themselves into line with his divine purposes, that they may be prepared to cooperate with heavenly intelligences in giving the last warning message to the world. As the believers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church come into line, laboring faithfully in neighboring towns and in country districts, and bearing a decided message in the great cities, they will see fruit of their labors. The truth will go forth as a lamp that burneth. Many will unite with them in seeking diligently to do those things that are in accordance with the eternal purposes of God. They will move in harmony with his opening providences and will labor unitedly for the advancement of his precious cause in the earth. Soon, if faithful, they will see the gates of the city of our God swing back on their glittering hinges, that the nations who have kept the truth may enter into their eternal inheritance.